Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Israel says it won't act on a U.S.-backed peace plan until Prime Minister Ariel Sharon lays out his objections. A senior Israeli official says Sharon plans to voice his concerns at an upcoming meeting with President Bush. Roxana Saberi reports.
Israel says before talks and a final peace deal begin, Palestinians must drop a demand for refugees' right of return to former homes in what is now Israel. Israeli officials say if they are to recognize Palestinian statehood, Palestinians must abolish this demand. The International Peace Plan says the fates of about 4 million Palestinian war refugees and their descendants should be decided in talks on a final deal. It also envisions Palestinian statehood within 3 years. The U.S. and other international mediators have said the three-stage peace plan is not open to change, but they say its implementation can be discussed. The Palestinians have accepted the plan, while Israel has 15 objections. Israeli officials say Prime Minister Ariel Sharon will likely explain his concerns at a White House meeting expected at the end of this month or early next month. Roxana Saberi reporting.
Northern Georgia is being pounded by severe thunderstorms and at least one tornado that touched down in Cherokee County just north of Atlanta. There were no reports of injuries. Brenda Capel of Oakwood says she could see a funnel cloud.
It's almost like a creepy quietness, and you can hear thunder. The clouds are real puffy and very low-lying. You can see a huge funnel cloud.
There was property damage in Walker County in extreme northwest Georgia. Sheriff Steve Wilson reports the roofs were torn off three homes and 2 to 3 barns were flattened as well. North Georgia is being pounded by severe thunderstorms and at least one tornado that touched down in Cherokee County just north of Atlanta. There were no reports of injuries. There was property damage in Walker County in extreme northwest Georgia. Sheriff Steve Wilson reports the roofs were torn off three homes and 2 to 3 barns were flattened as well.
Cheapo.
Penny Pincher.
Coupon Charlie.
Sure, they're just names, but they hurt.
Ouch.
And there's a place that understands. A place called Hotwire.com. We won't call you things like
belt tightener.
Oh, no. Hotwire will help you embrace your frugal side with the lowest hotel prices guaranteed, or we'll give you double the difference. Does that sound like someone who'd call you a
tightwad?
Nope. The only thing we'll call you is our kind of customer. Oh, and cheapskate.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
It's almost Mother's Day, and you know what that means. It's time to pick up the phone. A new Verizon wireless phone for mom from Radio Shack. Get her the Samsung A310 for just $24.99 after Samsung mail-in rebate. That's a $75 savings. Radio Shack's experts will even help you choose the service plan and accessories mom will love. So pick up the phone and make mom's day at Radio Shack. Offer good through 5/25 with 2-year activation. $175 early termination fees apply. Phone is $249.99 without activation. See stores for details.
More than 200 prominent members of the Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA have voiced their support for the consolidation of the two unions. The consolidation will create an umbrella union with three affiliates, including SAG for actors, AFTRA for broadcasters, and AFTRA for recording artists. Tom Hanks, Casey Kasem, Janine Garofalo, and Martin Sheen are just a few who support the consolidation. A complete list of endorsers can be found on the SAG-AFTRA shared website at partnershipforpower.org.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Queen Elizabeth's youngest son, Edward, and his wife, Sophie, are expecting their first child in December. Royal biographer Robert Lacey says that in the past, the Earl and Countess of Wessex tried to be different.
For both of them to be a working couple, Sophie kept her own name, Rhys Jones. They've given up their work and now taking up royal duties, having a baby. They're actually reverting very much to royal type, but I think the popularity polls will show that's what people really want.
Buckingham Palace released the statement today. A spokesperson says that the couple is delighted and thrilled. In 2001, Sophie was devastated after losing their first child and suffering from the complications of an ectopic pregnancy. Stocks finished higher today as today's Fed meeting was overlooked by investors. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 56 points to 85.88. The Nasdaq added 19 points to 15.23, and the S&P 500 gained 7 points to 9.34. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. They say history repeats itself. World War I, World War II, Rocky I, II, III, IV, and V. But when we come back, I'll share with you some automotive history about a certain bug's life.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
A Bug's Life could be the autobiography of the VW Beetle, which made history twice. It was originally named KDF Wagon, aptly meaning strength through joy. This odd-shaped little car, brainchild of Dr. Ferdinand Porsche, was designed with the backing of Adolf Hitler, who announced its birth at a Berlin exhibition in 1938. Out of production for almost 20 years, the VW was reborn in 1998. Its popularity with baby boomers and Gen Xers ensures life long into the 21st century. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us!
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. The phone number here is 800-825-5937. 800-TALK-YES. Or if you like to email, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. Welcome to our listeners on the IE America Radio Network, Sirius Satellite, Channel 145, and, of course, all the people who listen on radiopower.org. And if you want to hear a rebroadcast, go to whiterosesociety.org. Have I forgotten anybody, Kathy? And a partridge in a pear tree. Trivia question in our second hour. And thanks to Matt in Glenview, Illinois, you'll get a free, absolutely free, unopened, untouched, untampered Dixie Chicks CD, the new one, Home. Remember, starting this Friday, Bush Free Fridays, we'll talk about any subject other than too stupid to be president. You can't even mention his name or we'll ring the bell, and then the second time you mention his name, call's over. This is our little attempt to at least start the weekends off right, okay? I talk to my mother periodically. She's 88, lives in Ohio, and she'll say, well, what did you talk about on your program last night? Because my mother has a computer, but she hasn't yet figured out how to turn the damn thing on. And I'll say, well, we talked about Bush. She said, you talk about him every night, don't you? Yeah, Mom, I sure do. Got an email here, a couple of emails. I want to clear them off here at the beginning of the program. I think they're important, not to just get rid of them, but they're important. Nancy in East Tennessee wrote last night, I watched the debate. She puts quotes around the words, word debate, you know, the nine presidential Democratic hopefuls. Blah, blah, blah. She says, I watched the debate, and as much as I hate to say it, not a one of those guys has a snowball in hell's chance of beating George W. I like some of what I hear from Kucinich and even from Dean, but neither of these guys has a prayer. With rigged Diebold machines, a bought and paid for media that makes the old Pravda look downright Democratic, fair and balanced, and this crop of Democrats, it could not be more uninspiring. I just don't see the light at the end of this very dark tunnel. The one thing that might turn this around would be that every time one of these guys gets a microphone and a camera, they forcefully debunk the long, long list of Bush lies, but that will never happen. One other chance may be for Al Gore to throw back in. Lieberman did not defeat George W. Gore did. Nancy in East Tennessee. That's the kind of what we when we were in Washington. When was it, Kathy? A couple of months ago, I met all the Democratic leaders. Yeah, right. For the progressive, State of the Union. That's right. Progressive take on the State of the Union. And when I had my little moments with these people, I said the same thing Nancy is saying here. Every time you get a microphone, you ought to be blasting Bush. But I agree with Nancy, it's not going to happen. And the reason it's not going to happen is because it hasn't happened. We suggested that back during the State of the Union. That was in January, right? February? When's January? So what is it now? May? Right. Now, Richard sent us in. The other night, I read the closing statement by Dennis Kucinich, and I said, if anybody else has a closing statement from the candidate of their choosing, let me know. Here's Dean's closing statement, closing remarks. The great unspoken political lie, which comes from stages like this one, is elect me, and I'll solve all your problems. The great unspoken truth is that the future of this country rests in your hands, not mine. You have the power to rise up and take this country back. You have the power to give this party the backbone to challenge this president and all of the harm he has done to our country. You have the power to create jobs, balance a budget, bring us our dream, which Harry Truman put in our platform in 1948, which is health care for every American. The reason people don't vote in this country is that we don't give them a reason to vote. This campaign is about giving all of you a reason to vote. Abraham Lincoln said, quote, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth, end quote. President Bush has forgotten the ordinary people of this country. It's time to take our party back, and it's time to take our country back. That was Howard Dean's closing remarks in Columbia, South Carolina the other night, last Saturday night, in the nine-person so-called debate that was not covered by ABC, even though they had the franchise to do so, except on a delayed basis. And from Jim in Philadelphia, Mike, we can win. I keep hearing people saying that the Greens need to get on board to defeat Bush. The Democrats can neutralize the Greens very easily. Co-opt the Green platform. It's that simple. That's how we got Social Security. The Democrats did not come up with the idea of Social Security. It was the Socialist Party that was running on the idea, and as soon as it got some legs, the Democrats co-opted the idea, and the rest is history. Jim in Philadelphia. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a Socialist Party idea. But he's right. If the Democrats, but that's the whole point, isn't it? A very strong case can be made, and again, don't want to get into this, but that the Green Party platform, at least the Nader platform, represented what I grew up with as Democratic ideals, Democratic Party ideals. And so all the Democrats need to do, Jim makes a good point, just adopt the Green Party platform. Huh? Now, regarding all this, Miami Herald the other day had a very interesting point of view about the Democratic Convention. Won't be held for more than a year, but the party's nominee is being selected right now. And it's not being selected in Columbia, South Carolina, or on the Internet, or on this program. It's being selected in a handful of living rooms and salons in Georgetown, the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and Hollywood. That's where the so-called wealth primary is taking place. That's a competition that determines who will be anointed the party's front runner and what issues will make it onto the table. Now, as the Miami Herald points out, we in the public may not be aware of this process, but campaigns take the wealth primary very seriously, and they should. In every presidential race since 1984, the candidate who had raised the most money by the end of the year prior to the election, before a single primary vote had been cast by you and me, that candidate went on to win his party's nomination. Whoever had the money got the nomination. One top Democratic fundraiser with extensive experience in presidential campaigns, who spoke recently on condition of anonymity, said, quote, the only focus in presidential campaigns right now is how to get $20 million to $25 million raised by this fall. That's the equivalent of raising $60,000 a day, 7 days a week, for all of the year 2003. Now, the first turning point, truth seekers, and this is what's galling to me. I hate this, and so do you. But the turning point in this little dash for cash has just occurred, and the votes, so-called, have already been tallied. Back on April 15th, all these candidates had to report to the Federal Election Commission their fundraising for the first quarter of 2003. You want some results? Here's how much they've raised so far, according to their filings on April 15th. North Carolina Senator John Edwards, $7.4 million, plus another $1.5 million sitting in his Senate campaign account that he has not yet tapped. Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, $7 million, plus $3 million transferred from his Senate account. Missouri Representative Dick Gephardt, $3.5 million, plus $2.4 million transferred from his House account. Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, $3 million. Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, $2.6 million. Florida Senator Bob Graham, $1.1 million. Ohio Representative Dennis Kucinich, $180,000. Former Illinois Senator Carol Mosley Brown, $72,000. Now, you notice who's missing here. Yeah, Sharpton. The fundraiser says this is when the winnowing of the field starts. It's assumed that serious candidates need to have raised $6 to $10 million. Now, by that yardstick, Lieberman and Bob Graham might be in trouble. Dennis Kucinich, $180,000. Jesus. Now, here's the part that really just burns me up. So far, each of the top four Democratic candidates, that would be Kerry, Edwards, Gephardt, and Lieberman, each one has raised more than 60% of his cash from those giving $2,000 or more individually, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. That's why these candidates are spending so much time in New York and Los Angeles and Washington. Get this, donors from just 10 zip codes in those three cities supplied more than $122 million to federal campaigns last year. Donors at the lower end of the spectrum count for little in this process, and the 96% of Americans who never give a campaign contribution count for nothing. Nothing. 96% of Americans who never give a campaign contribution count for nothing. We don't matter. If you don't dig into your pocket, $10, $20, $50, come on, people. If you're unemployed, $5, something. Now, that's not the way you select a leader of a democracy. That donors from 10 zip codes in three cities make the decision. Now, of course, the only way to get rid of this so-called wealth primary is full public financing. We know that. You know it. I understand it. Remember on your income tax form, they had a little box you could check, a buck or two for public. Do they still have it, Kathy? Hell, I don't even know. They still do. I don't check it. I make a campaign contribution because I understand how this filthy system works the best I can to the candidate that I choose. But it's ridiculous because my funds are limited. So are yours. But the wealthy people in this country, oh, hell, you know, how much you need, buddy? 100 grand? Here, let me bundle. Let me go get 50 of my friends. We'll all kick in $2,000 a piece. There's your 100 grand. And that's how we do it in this country. So that just keep that in mind. I'm serious. I'm not trying to browbeat you or well, I guess I am. Yes, I am. I'm trying to kick your ass up around your shoulders. If you don't contribute to the candidate of your choice, then you don't count. You have nothing to say about this selection process. It ain't going to be decided in the primaries, Bubala. That's already been decided. They're all front-loaded. Whoever has the money, whoever can win these jammed-together primaries that'll come in the first few months of next year, that's it. Story's over. Game's done. So when are you going to sit down and write a check to Dean or Kucinich or whoever? When are you going to do it, huh? Now, I got something to say about Tom Daschle right after this break that you Daschle supporters are not going to like, but on the other hand, you Daschle supporters are going to be shocked. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it? You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Chris from New Mexico, welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me know.
But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
It's a huge honor to be the greatest, to be the president of the greatest country in the world.
Sit down and shut up. Hey, we have an awful lot of stuff here for you tonight, so stay with us. Everything from Dixie Chicks to Bush in Canada to Secret Service grilling a couple of Oakland high school students. What else have we got? Yeah, well, we're concerned to Dixie Chicks, a radio station in Colorado Springs, suspended two disc jockeys, but we'll get to all this. But to Dashiell. The Aberdeen News is Aberdeen, South Carolina. And I don't know what their editorial position is on Tom Daschle whatsoever. But in last Friday's paper, they report that Tom Daschle said the search for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq should continue, but if they're not fined, the war against Saddam was justified anyway. That's Tom Daschle. Daschle said regime change was a legitimate goal. It was accomplished, and I think that's laudable in and of its own right. He went on to say, this is Daschle talking. In 21 days, we eliminated somebody who for 20 years has repressed and tortured his own people and posed a serious risk not only to his country but to countries all over the world, including the United States. Now, the one of the Republicans' representatives, Bill Janklow from South Dakota, agreed. Janklow went a little bit further and said it's probably the grandest military success in the history of this country. Jesus, can you believe this little weaselly jackass, whoever this Janklow is? This attack on Iraq, this slaughter of people, the ones who didn't flee and run screaming into the mountains, the slaughter of civilians, the bombing, it's the greatest military success in the history of this country? What time is it? 26 past the hour. Have I said yet tonight I hate these people? These Republicans? Daschle applauded the Bush administration's leadership during the war, according to the paper. Now, if you remember, right before this slaughter of Iraqis, right before that, Daschle was criticizing Bush's failure to find a diplomatic alternative to war, right? Remember? And because of that, because of his statements prior to the war, this group called, what's it called? I'll get to it in a second. But a group is trying to raise $800,000 to run ads against Daschle in the months to come, in large part because of those pre-war comments. Paul Erickson, a Sioux Falls a conservative political activist, is one of the men spearheading what's being called the Daschle Accountability Project. According to the Capitol Hill publication Roll Call, Erickson said everybody hates Daschle. Now, let me tell you something about Erickson. Erickson once represented John Wayne Bobbitt. You remember the guy who had his winky-dink shortened by his ex-wife, Lorena? She cut off his penis in 1993. Well, this Erickson, this guy putting together the Daschle Accountability Project, signed Bobbitt up, took him out on tour to make money. It was called the Love Hurts Tour. Do you remember that? Sure you do. In 1994, this right-wing thug, why are these people so fixated on people's penises? I don't get this. Do Republicans not have one? Republican men, don't they have one? They fixated on Clinton's for how long? And here this Erickson, who's leading this fundraising effort to defeat Daschle, was fixated on John Wayne Bobbitt's penis, or lack thereof, and took him on the Love Hurts Tour. So this Erickson, who used to hang out with John Wayne Penisless Bobbitt, said Daschle doesn't represent South Carolina values. Now, when he was asked by Roll Call whether South Dakota's residents will think Bobbitt's former front man does represent South Dakota values, Erickson said, you're missing the point. Unbelievable. Now, regarding Daschle's comments, Robert in Groton, Massachusetts, one of our regular callers and listeners, wrote a letter to Daschle based on that article in the Aberdeen News. And I'm going to read you what Robert sent to Tom Daschle, because Robert sent it to me. Coming back. Stay with us.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
The headquarters of the United Nations looked a lot like Baghdad on Friday as food service workers went on a wildcat strike and UN diplomats and staff literally looted the headquarters' cafeterias and lounges. The workers found out Friday that a new company was coming in to manage UN food services and they would not be paid some back wages owed. So the workers walked off the job around lunch hour, and as word spread around the headquarters, thousands of diplomats and staff headed to the cafeterias and literally stripped them clean, making off with everything from souffles to bottles of liquor and even the silverware. The workers are now back on the job this week, but the company running food services estimates as much as $9,000 worth of food, drink, and supplies were plundered.
No signs that Yale University's long-running labor strife is about to end. The union representing 2,800 of Yale's secretaries and technical workers shot down a proposed 10-year contract by an 8-to-1 margin last week. Local 34 of the hotel and restaurant employees union has gone without a contract since January of 2002 and says Yale's latest proposal falls far short on pension and wage increases. Meanwhile, a non-binding referendum on graduate student unionization ended in defeat for graduate teaching assistants. A slim majority voted against unionization, and while the Graduate Employee Student Organization is contesting the result, the outcome is unlikely to sway an administration that has fought TA unionizing efforts tooth and nail.
More than a million Austrians are on strike today, the largest labor action that country's seen in at least 50 years. The strikers are actually on the job, but they're spending the day talking with co-workers about government plans to slash the national pension and raise the retirement age to 65. Currently in Austria, men retire on average around the age of 59 and women at 57.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Okay, so here's a story. Tom Daschle in his hometown newspaper, I don't know if it's a hometown, but a newspaper in his state, South Dakota, last Friday, said that he supported Bush's attack on Iraq. He thought even if the weapons of mass destruction are never found, it was justified. He says regime change was a legitimate goal. He thinks it was laudable, and is he still the Senate majority leader, or Senate minority leader? Daschle, I think he is. So one of our listeners, one of our correspondents, one of our frequent callers here, Robert in Groton, Massachusetts, sent the following letter in response to that to the Honorable Thomas Daschle. Dear Senator Daschle, it disturbs me to read that you have publicly stated that the Iraq war is justified merely for regime change. If the war is justified by regime change, then you are also saying that the following is justified. First, presentation of forged documents to Congress, the United Nations, and the American people as proof. Second, claims of solid proof of weapons of mass destruction, every one of which turned out to be false. An earlier generation of leaders would have called them lies. Third, bribery and threats used to coerce votes in the UN Security Council. Fourth, utter contempt for the United Nations and international law leading to serious long-term damage to these institutions. Fifth, aggressive, unprovoked war resulting in the deaths of thousands of civilians plus uncounted Iraqi soldiers. Next, destruction of a priceless national and world legacy. And finally, destruction of America's reputation and goodwill worldwide. On top of all these negatives, Senator, this war is costly. This expense stops us from keeping our state governments afloat. This expense forces our schools, roads, and essential services to deteriorate. This expense keeps us from doing anything about medical care for millions. This expense keeps us from propping up our ailing economy or helping those suffering the most from it. Is this justified? Is this really justified, Senator? Should we do it again? Given support such as yours, there's a good chance that Bush will do it again. By saying that these disastrous results are justified, you are undercutting very powerful arguments against George W. Bush that ought to be used by the next Democratic candidate for president. You should be the vanguard of the attack on Bush, not his rear guard. This is behavior totally inappropriate for a leader of the Democratic Party. You should seriously consider resigning. Sincerely, Robert Blank, Groton, Massachusetts. Well, Robert, I couldn't agree with you more. This is the reason that the Democrats are going to have their ass handed to them November 4th, 2004. It is guaranteed once again. You see? In the first place, the selection process is rigged against a Dennis Kucinich or a Howard Dean or a Kerry Mosley Braun. The system is rigged against them, first. Second, you have Democrats like Tom Daschle kissing Bush's ass for public consumption like this. What are Americans supposed to do? What are Democrats supposed to think? No, Senator, the war was not justified on any level except as a payoff, payback, payout to the Bush crime family. Damn Tom Daschle. Unbelievable. There he is.
Oh, well, it's all justified. I think it's a good thing that we attacked Iraq, whether we find the weapons of mass destruction or not. You know, I support my president. Oh, come on now, everybody calm down. He's a good man. Now, if you go to BartCop.com, periodically you'll see what BartCop refers to as pink tutu Democrats. And usually there'll be a ballet dancer in a pink tutu with the face of Tom Daschle. Now you understand why. If you have any question about that, if you think BartCop's being a little bit hard on Democratic leadership, there you go. There he is. There's Daschle in his own words. Oh, I supported it. Oh, I think it was a good idea. It's all justified. Whether we find the weapons of mass destruction or not, it's all justified. So Tom Daschle aligns himself with the reactionary neo-fascist wing of the Republican Party. And people wonder why Democrats say to hell with it, don't even go to vote anymore. It's statements like that. What the hell is wrong with Tom Daschle? In the meantime, no matter how he kisses Bush's ass, no matter how he gets down on his knees behind George Bush and does the nasty, no matter how strongly, there's always a group in the background raising hundreds of thousands of dollars to defeat him. Why doesn't Daschle, I'll tell you why he doesn't understand his own tactics, because he's a damn fool, because he's not a Democrat. Ah. Boy, that is just so infuriating. Oh, I think it's a wonderful idea. You know, Saddam Hussein was a threat to the United States and his neighbors, and he had weapons of mass destruction. Even if we don't find the weapons of mass destruction, it was still just, I support President Bush. I just love President Bush. May I go kiss his ass again? Is it time I can go do it again? Is there a line behind of other Democrats? Okay, well, I'm the Senate Minority Leader. Can I move to the head of the line? The Republicans look at this kind of stuff, Karl Rove, Pappy Bush, Cheney,
and even too stupid to be president. They look at an article like that in the Aberdeen newspaper in South Dakota, and they just think to themselves, Jesus, how could anybody in this country think that Bush is not going to be reelected? Isn't Daschle the number one Democrat in the United States? Or is it that other ass-kisser, Terry McAuliffe? Which one is it? Lieberman? Shame on this party. Shame on it. My God, trying to remain a card-carrying member of the Democratic Party like I try to do is like trying to strike a match on a wet cake of soap. It's like trying to push a string. It's like trying to find sense in anything or truth in anything George W. Bush says. Here I sit. Oh, well, I'm a Democrat. Hi, my name's Mike Malloy. I'm a Democrat. Yeah! I'm crazier than an outhouse rat because I'm still a Democrat. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I think we know what's going to happen. And some of you people just really emailed me a beating last week. Was it last week? Week before when I said Bush has got this locked up. Are you serious? Do you really think he doesn't with this kind of nonsense coming from the Democratic Party leadership? My God. I'll tell you what Dennis Kucinich ought to do. He ought to tell the Democratic Party to kiss his ass and run as an independent. That's what he ought to do. The Democratic Party is going to give Dennis Kucinich nothing. Nothing. They will do everything they can to eliminate him. And Howard Dean, too. You Howard Dean supporters, don't fool yourselves. It's Gephardt, Edwards, Lieberman, Kerry. They're the ones fighting for the big bucks. Well, I made it 41 minutes into the show without, pushing the blood pressure up around triple digits on both ends. Oh, my God. Look, I know there are a lot of Democratic stalwarts out there because I get your emails, you people that say any Democrat is better than George Bush again. You know, God, Mike, quit knocking the Democratic Party. Oh, you can't be serious. You cannot be serious. When Tom Daschle makes statements like this, every time I've had Terry McAuliffe on this program, he's right there in line kissing Bush's ass. Oh, he makes his statements. It doesn't matter. And the Democratic Party primary system now is so stacked against a real Democrat as to render it a laughingstock. And who's laughing? The Bush crime family. This is sport to them. This is fun. This is games. They're already planning the next five countries are going to invade into 2006, 2007. And Tom Daschle gets out and says, well, yeah, I support him. I support my president. Now, I think George W. Bush has not really done a good job on the No Child Left Behind thing, but where it concerns Iraq, I really, really support him. It was justified. How can you stand to listen to that if you call yourself a Democrat, huh? How can you do that? Thank God! A listener from Groton, Massachusetts sent him the email. Any of the rest of you going to do it? You know what Daschle's email address is? You know what it is? You're going to send him an email? You're going to call his office? You're going to ask him when he left the Democratic Party? Okay. Marcia's calling from Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, Marcia.
Hi, Mike. How you doing? I am so disappointed.
I'm ready to burst an artery. That's how I'm doing. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm just tired of these wannabe Democrats. You guys can be Democrats. Please be Democrats.
They can't. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, Marcia. These people can't be Democrats. They still walk around half-ass a campaign under the label of I'm a Democrat. I represent the Democratic Party. These are not Democrats. These are not Democrats. I don't know what they are.
And you got these Republican repugnants calling us. They sat there 8 years and criticized Clinton. Come on. Okay. You know, I'm looking at Dean looks good. And the guy Graham looks good. my congressman from my wonderful 9th district, wussy down on us. Thank you, Mr. Ford. We love you, too. And, I mean, it's just getting this pretty. When are we going to get our guts and get up there and say we're real Democrats? And we can, if we bite ourselves, you know, I just agree with you about if in 2004, if it's going to come down to the minority votes. If we get, if the Democrat Party, do they supposed to and get the minorities out, you won't have, don't worry, you won't get Bush back.
Well, I, Marcia, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. I understand what you say, what you're saying there about the so-called minority vote. Okay, let's play that game a little bit. If I were the standard definition of a minority in this country, which means, I guess, African-American or Hispanic-American, if I were one of those folks from that demographic group, I would tell the Democratic Party to go straight to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Get out of my mailbox with your appeals for funds until you become the Democratic Party that I used to vote for. Now, I am not part of that so-called minority demographic. And if you are you a black man? Are you a black woman? Are you Hispanic, Latino? What are you? What are you? What are you? Huh? Are you going to vote Democratic again when you have Tom Daschle standing, waiting his turn in line, taking his number to kiss George Bush's pimply white ass? Are you going to do that? Are you going to do it again and again and again? At what point do Americans of African descent finally realize that the Democratic Party said, well, it's time to get the Negroes out to the polls again. Hey, get them buses going. It's election day. Hey, blah, 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 blah. And where do so-called minorities go if not the Democratic Party? Republicans? Yeah. I'll tell you where they go. They go where a lot of people decided to go. And that's somewhere else on election day, not the polls. Somewhere else. To hell with it. I watched Cynthia McKinney go down in flames in my district, my congressional district here in Georgia. And you know why she went down in flames? Because voters, Americans of African descent in my home district said, to hell with it. To hell with it. You know, it just takes something like that to really I walk around with a very short fuse anyway, and that statement from Daschle, to watch the Democratic Party self-destructing like this, I'm so sick of it. I am just so sick of it. Joe is calling from Oregon, our Brookings bureau chief. Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, well, you're right. The Democratic Party is a joke, and Tom Daschle is the number one problem for the Democrats. I don't know about the Democrats' chances of regaining.
I don't think he's necessarily number one. Look at Lieberman. Look at Pretty Boy from North Carolina, who I used to think, I don't know, he spoke out on a couple of issues. What was it, Kathy? Was it during the, I have no idea. I thought Edwards might be something. I thought the man had spine and backbone and guts. Lieberman, I wrote off. When Gore picked Lieberman, I thought, well, okay, there you go. That's, big mistake there. It's not just Daschle, Joe. Daschle is in the barrel tonight because of his statement in the Aberdeen newspaper.
I didn't say it was the only problem. I'm saying he was the guy in the leadership position. He could have kept a vote from coming on that war authorization if he wanted to, but he didn't. He chickened out. He was the Senate majority leader, and he's the one that takes the blame for the Democrats losing control of the Senate. And he'll be the one to blame when they don't regain control next year. So he is the number one problem, because I don't think the Democrats, the way they're going, they don't have a chance in hell to win the presidential election next year. And then the House of Representatives, you got the redistricting. 95% of the races are all decided ahead of time anyway. Yeah. You have the politicians picking the voters.
Well, something has to be done, Joe. Thanks. Boy, is that a cliche, a trite little comment from me. Something has to be done. There was a time, not so long ago, when the majority of people in this country, of a ratio of about 47% to maybe 33%, and the rest like to call themselves independent, who said they were Democrats? the majority of people who used to vote. Now, that's not a majority of Americans, but the majority of people who would vote, about 47-48% said, yeah, I'm a Democrat, proud of it. 33% said, yeah, I'm a Republican, proud of it. And then there was that little middle group, independents and people that didn't care and too stupid to decide, don't understand how to answer a question. But what in the hell happened? What in the hell happened? I'll tell you what happened. The Democratic Party leadership just sold out completely.
For the love of one's country is a terrible thing. It banishes fear with the speed of a flame.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Blend number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
5 before the hour. We're at 800 talk, yes. And again, in case there's any doubt in your mind, I want to make sure that anybody who tunes into this program understands clearly that I'm a Democrat, and I see very few Democrats running for the presidency in 2004. Now, if some of you people want to sell out, if you want to say, well, okay, a Dennis Kucinich couldn't win, a Howard Dean couldn't win, a real Democrat couldn't win, well, then do that. It's a free country. Parts of it still, your mind is still free. The Bush crime family hasn't taken that over yet. But if you honestly believe, let me put it this way, if you can compromise your Democratic Party values to the extent that you think Joe Lieberman or Bob Graham or Daschle or Gephardt, I understand Daschle's not running, that these people are Democrats, then you are involved in self-delusion up to the top of your head. And have at it. Self-delusion is a lot of fun. Denial is the way people survive. But don't call yourself a Democrat. Because you're not. You're something else. You're a Republican light. And if you don't have the courage to say that, shame on you. You're going to suck up to one of these so-called Democrats who congratulate Bush on his wonderful leadership? Are you crazy? I get a lot of flack. A lot of nasty emails coming in from so-called Democrats. A lot of nasty comments on various websites where there are chat rooms.
Oh, well, Malloy is, he said if it's not Kucinich, he wouldn't vote.
That's not what I said. I said I will not vote for a Democrat unless he or she really is a Democrat. But for folks who want to take me to task, you're wasting your time, dude. You are wasting your time. I'm a Democrat. I am a blue-collar, working-class Democrat. I know exactly what I stand for. And Tom Daschle and Dick Gephardt and Joe Lieberman and John Edwards and Bob Graham do not stand for Democratic Party principles. Okay? Okay.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Warby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Warby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
SIE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Amtrak says one person was killed and close to two dozen others were hurt when Amtrak's Silver Star collided with a lumber truck at a grade crossing in southeast Georgia around 7:25 this morning. Amtrak spokeswoman Karina Van Veen says the truck driver was killed and the train's engineer was seriously injured and airlifted to a local hospital. 22 train passengers with less serious injuries were taken to a local hospital. The train was carrying about 150 passengers when the accident occurred in Liberty County, just east of Hinesville, Georgia. The European Commissioner for Development and Humanitarian Aid has taken a tour of a damaged water treatment plant while visiting Baghdad. Paul Nielsen says it's very important to get the treatment plant running again.
Our rehabilitation effort will be concentrated on the water systems, not only in Baghdad, but also elsewhere in the country.
The water treatment plant was damaged by looters and water still hasn't been restored to most areas of the city. Nielsen says that people do these things like a volcanic eruption when a dictator goes. This has been experienced in other places, but it is more than stupid. Nielsen hopes that the protection of these facilities will be taken seriously. Nielsen adds that they had begun working on plans to restore the water plant before the war even began. The Red Cross and other organizations are assisting as well. U.S. officials are inspecting a tractor-trailer truck in Iraq that they think may have been part of a mobile chemical or biological weapons lab system. At the White House, President Bush said he's not surprised by the find.
Over time, the truth will come out, and the American people will see that when we rid Saddam Hussein from, got him out of power, we made America more secure.
Suspected weapons of mass destruction represented the principal rationale for the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq.
Your mission, Mother's Day shopping. Your goal, find gifts that make mom happy. Your rendezvous point, Radio Shack. Consider the following. A talking picture frame to hold snapshots and a recording of how much you love her, $9.99. The Honeywell Environizer, an electronic air purifier to help mom breathe easier, $99.99. A Palm Zire PDA to keep mom organized and on schedule, $99.99. Should you fail these objectives, Mother's Day could self-destruct. Good luck, shopper. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
Cheapo.
Penny Pincher.
Coupon Charlie.
Sure, they're just names, but they hurt.
Ouch.
And there's a place that understands. A place called Hotwire.com. We won't call you things like
belt tightener.
Oh, no. Hotwire will help you embrace your frugal side with the lowest hotel prices guaranteed, or we'll give you double the difference. Does that sound like someone who'd call you a
tightwad?
Nope. The only thing we'll call you is our kind of customer. Oh, and cheapskate.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair has gone to Dublin for Northern Ireland talks with Irish Prime Minister Bertie Ahern. Blair says he told others that he would be in Dublin, the home of Guinness beer, for his 50th birthday.
Many people have said to me, actually, the last 24 hours, great idea going to Dublin for your birthday. You'll have a fantastic time. But they quite got the point of what I was supposed to be doing there. But of course, I look very much forward to going there.
Blair and Ahern reportedly plan to move forward on parts of their peace proposal that do not involve the Irish Republican Army. Last week, Blair delayed Northern Ireland's elections that had been scheduled for May 29th to this fall. Blair said the elections could be put off even longer unless the IRA explicitly renounces violence.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Plan number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The city of Atlanta is being besieged by numerous supercell thunderstorms. A tornado warning was in effect earlier today. DeKalb County schools are in full protection tornado mode as students have been moved from portable classrooms into the main school buildings throughout the county. A long line of severe weather has caused thunderstorm and tornado warnings in 13 counties in North Georgia, and the first wave of severe weather has moved through the city of Atlanta. More severe storms are moving rapidly toward the Atlanta metro area from Cobb and Paulding counties. Georgia Power says more than 10,000 people are without power in the Rome area, and 1,500 homes are without power in the city of Atlanta. Flash flooding is also expected as up to 6 inches of rain are expected to fall in the metro area. Stocks were up today as the most investors overlooked today's Fed meeting. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 56 points to 85.88. The NASDAQ was up 19 to 15.23, and the broader S&P 500 gained 7 points to 9.34. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Kids fight over toys, and mom says share. Good advice for the playground and the road. When I come back, we'll talk peaceful coexistence between cars and motorcycles.
We're at the track asking drivers why they recommend Champion Platinum Power spark plugs. Here comes Matt Kenseth and his Ford. Matt, why do you trust Champion? He said Champion provides long-lasting power. Here comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his Chevy. Dale said Champion has the right technology. So use Champion in your car no matter what make it is. Champion, the world's favorite spark plug. What'd he say?
Get new Champion Platinum Power spark plugs at a leading auto parts store or retailer near you.
Global detente's important, but drivers of four-wheel vehicles and two-wheeled motorcycles could use some local negotiation in sharing the road. Here's a start. Cyclist, act like full-sized vehicles by claiming road space nearer centerline, encouraging drivers to pass with a wider berth. Four-wheel vehicles, don't move to one side to see what's going on in slow traffic. Stick to the middle of your lane. This position discourages cyclists from weaving between cars. Now that's shuttle diplomacy. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
7 past the hour. Welcome back. We're at 800 Talk, yes. Patrick in Kentucky is practically begging me to read these 5 sentences on the air. Okay, I'll do it, Patrick. He sends an email. He says, I advise everyone who likes Kucinich, the only progressive candidate, to call, email, everywhere he has appeared, where the Republican cronies were dropping bombs on him. People like Bernard Shaw, George Stephanopoulos, who was on Charlie Rose last night with more ABC analysts, crony bastards. Correct these people and be heard. As I was taught in the insurance indemnity sales business, you don't ask for a person's time, you take their time. Okay, Dennis, if you know for a fact you're not going to be the nominee by January, run as an independent. $20 from each contributor will put Dennis in a populist victory. Okay, Patrick, I read it for you, okay? Oh, God. Okay, I'm off the soapbox. I can't stand it. I can't stand it anymore. It's been building up now for about 4 years, watching the Democrats flail and make total asses of themselves, the Democratic Party leadership. All right, I'm going to take a phone call here, and then we're going to have our trivia question for the Dixie Chicks CD, brand new, hasn't been opened, still in the shrink wrap, ready to go. The new CD, Home, with the big hits Long Time Gone and Landslide. And these CDs were sent to us courtesy of Matt in Glenview, Illinois, who made the purchase himself. Bought, I don't know where he went, but Amazon.com, bought 5 Dixie Chicks CDs, sent them to us. said, Mike, give them away. All right, we're doing it. So if you want to get online right now, 800-TALK-YES, and I'll have the trivia question coming up. And by the way, the trivia question was sent in by Wayne in Seattle. It's a good one, too. So let's see how sharp you are. 800-825-5937. You want to get online now if you want to take a shot at this. In the meantime, Nadine is calling from Honolulu, Hawaii. Hey, Nadine.
How are you?
Doing fine. How are you, Nadine?
Just as disgusted as you are.
Are you?
Yes, I did send a nasty gram to the DNC and Daschle, demanding that he basically steps down as the minority leader. If he cannot do his job, step down.
Well, I think he proved in the midterm elections he couldn't do his job. I think Gephardt proved he couldn't do his job. I don't know what it takes. I honest to God, don't know what it takes before real Democrats start demanding leadership from our party. Or let's just rip the party into a million pieces and dump it and move on. Let's all become Republican light. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe enough people emailing Daschle, emailing Gephardt, emailing Terry McAuliffe, emailing the DNC, or sending letters or whatever. I don't know, Nadine.
Well, I think that part of the problem is that the American people have been lulled into basically not demanding accountability. I'm not kidding. Ever since I started actually emailing Congress and basically being on their case, mm-hmm. I have seen them do a couple things that I wouldn't believe they would do, like Waxman going after Halliburton. But it really requires that people start doing that, paying attention, start demanding accountability.
Yeah, doing what Henry Waxman does, exposing the truth.
That's right.
Halliburton is a company that does business with states identified by Democratic and Republican administrations in this country as terrorist states. Halliburton does business.
That's right.
Cheney does business with them. And then Halliburton gets a major contract that's going to stretch out to about $7 billion. And who out there in the Democratic Party raises sand about this? Henry Waxman. What's Henry Waxman running for? Nothing. He's a representative. He's got one little district in Southern California or somewhere in California. That's it. Where is the Democratic Party leadership where it concerns Halliburton and all the money it's made doing business with terrorist states and the fact that George W. Bush hands Halliburton this contract on Iraq? Where's the Democratic Party leadership?
Well, in many ways, what I see is the cronyism, the same kind of problems that led to the Gilded Age. And right now it's getting to the point that the Fed chairman today warned that we're basically going into a deflationary pressures.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like 1929?
Yes. Sure.
So once that actually breaks, and it's going to break, people are going to demand changes because they're not going to have a choice.
Well, it's a shame we have to wait like some southern mule until somebody hits us upside the head with a 2x4 to get our attention. It's a shame that America has to wait for some sort of economic disaster in this country before we realize that the Republican Party is the party of wealth, the party of money, and that 90% of us in this country are not in that group. We may aspire to be in that group. We may think that someday we're going to invent a widget and it's going to go online and there's going to be an IPO and we're going to become millionaires. But until that day, we're down here in the sludge where most Americans are, struggling for a living, struggling to make mortgage payments and provide health insurance coverage for our families, worried about our kids going to college, worried about whether or not we can finish getting a degree for some trade that will be depression-proof, watching companies close, watching jobs being exported, watching pension plans disappear, watching all this. I don't know what it's going to take, Nadine, until people realize that the Republican Party is destroying this country and that the Democratic Party leadership right now is assisting in that destruction. I don't know. Oh, God, it gets so frustrating.
What it's going to take probably is that, because also the media has not been covering much of this. The media has not covering important items such as how many countries have switched to the euro?
To the euro? I don't know.
I can mention Malaysia quite personally. I can mention most of OPEC.
Well.
And this is not being covered.
Yeah.
Being covered that the euro has gained a lot of value against the U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
It's not being covered that foreign investments in this country are drying out. Not only that, they're actually rushing out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are not being covered. because they're trying to hide an economic disaster that is rushing towards us at speaking speed.
Mm-hmm.
And people should be aware that this is what's going to take,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately. Now, as much as I don't want to defend Daschle, sometimes I think that one of the reasons he doesn't stand up
mm-hmm.
is the anthrax letter.
Right.
I mean, he's the only U.S. senator that goes home with a full Secret Service detail.
Well, right. I'm not saying that Daschle's not a target. He is a target. Every Democrat's a target, even if they're Democrat light. The objective of the Republican Party is totalitarian rule, is to turn this country into a totalitarian state. That means get rid of even the vestiges of an opposition party. That means go after anybody who symbolically represents leadership of the opposition party. You know, I can remember my lifetime when the Republicans were the opposition party, but they all got together and they got strong on their particular issue, which is fascism,
mm-hmm.
and they put everybody on the same page, which is fascism. They mm-hmm. they tolerated no disagreement. They had leaders, sick criminal leaders, like Newt Gingrich, who forced a confrontation with the Democrats, and the Democrats folded. Now, if the Democrats can't produce the equivalent of a Newt Gingrich, if they can't produce the equivalent of a Tom DeLay, if they can't produce the equivalent of any of these Republican thugs who are taking this country to totalitarianism, then the Democratic Party deserves to die.
Well, the way I see it is if in 2004 the Democrats don't win by hook and crook, it's over.
Yeah, I hear
period.
That. Hey, do you want to take a shot at the trivia question?
Sure, why not?
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Now, if you get the right answer, you get a copy of the Dixie Chicks' brand new CD, Home, courtesy of one of our listeners, Matt in Glenview. Here's the question. Who was the 10th candidate who was not invited to participate in the recent debate of Democratic candidates? Now, I'll give you a hint. In fundraising, he ranks 4th in total dollars, and in individual contributors, according to the Federal Election Commission, he ranks number 1.
Gary Hart?
Gary Hart?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, Nadine.
That's okay.
It's not. All right, thanks for checking in, Nadine.
You're welcome.
All right, I appreciate your call. Okay. Who's next? What? Okay, all right. I see how you're going to do it. Okay. Jeannie is calling, or is it Jean or Jeannie calling from Valley City, North Dakota?
This is Jean.
Jean. Hi, Jean. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much.
This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Senator Daschle is one of your senators.
Actually, he's from South Dakota. I'm in North Dakota.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just noticed.
That's a common mistake.
No, I didn't look at the screen right. I'm sorry. South Dakota. Never mind.
Yeah. No, I was, I had a little story. A couple years ago, I was faxing our one representative from North Dakota a letter because I was ticked off.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him why he was voting like a Republican.
Right.
And I accidentally faxed it to the wrong Washington fax number. And that I didn't realize it till a week later that I had faxed it to the wrong office.
Yeah.
So I resent it to him.
Do you have any idea who you sent the first one to?
Nope, I never heard either.
You never got an answer either, huh?
Nope.
Well, do you know the answer to our trivia question? Who is the 10th candidate who was not invited to participate in the recent debate of Democratic candidates?
No, I don't.
You don't know who that was?
Okay. No, I don't.
Well,
part of the Democratic Party problem, the Minnesota Party calls itself the Farmer Labor Party.
Yeah.
Farm Labor Party, something like that.
Right.
Yeah. The Democratic Party needs to become the Labor Party again.
Yeah, it needs to become the party of the people, which is what it was over the past 50 or 60 years until the Democratic Leadership Conference got its clutches in the Democratic Party and just bled it dry. And it's not what it used to be. Hey, Jean, thanks for calling. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, I've been listening on the Internet up here, starved for information. So.
Yeah, I hear that. Well, thanks a lot for checking. I hope you're going to call again.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Jean, you have a nice
evening.
Good
luck.
Okay,
good luck on your question.
Thank you. We're at 800-TALK-YES. Nancy is calling from East Tennessee. Nancy, you ready for the trivia question?
Yes.
All right, let me ask it again. Who is the 10th candidate who was not invited to participate in the recent debate of Democratic candidates in fundraising? He ranks number 4 in total dollars, and he ranks number 1 in individual contributors, according to the FEC. Now, I'm going to ask you to hold your answer because I got to take a break.
Okay.
All right. I'll come back to you in just a second. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Stay with us.
Saying, what could I do? Remember that unity starts with you.
Hold on. Hold on.
Hold on. Is democracy dead? Only time's gonna tell. Get your feet in the street and start raising some hell.
Hold on. Hold on.
Mom? Dad?
Someone's gonna try and get me to take drugs.
Wanna do something about it?
You're gonna have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You gotta be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whenever you hear that Washington is moving forward with comprehensive legislation to do this or that, it means that some larger theft than usual is underway. Beware, then, of the comprehensive energy bill that the White House is now trying to choo-choo-cha-boogie railroad through the legislative system. This boondoggle even comes wrapped in the flag as the Bushites try to capitalize on their military victory over Saddam by claiming that America's energy independence is dependent on this glob of special interest gimmies. Buried in it are $18.7 billion in tax subsidies for ExxonMobil, BP, Shell, and the other global oil and gas giants, and for the electric utility greedheads that keep raising our rates as they pollute our air. The congressional sponsors use Orwellian terms to make it seem as though they are working in the public interest by taking actions that, quote, streamline, bring balance, provide relief, allow flexibility, and otherwise do good things, when in fact, they're just engaged in the same old special interest gotcha. For example, their bill would allow oil corporations to escape paying taxes they owe to we the people on gas they take out of the Gulf of Mexico. It would allow the federal government to overrule states that dare tell utilities they can't run electric power lines through your land or community. It would make it harder for you local citizens, farmers, environmentalists, and others to stop utilities that want to flood your area with hydroelectric dams. It would cut the royalties that these energy giants pay to us taxpayers to take the oil and gas from our public lands. It would let coal companies escape paying the health benefits of mine workers who've worked hard all their lives and come up with lungs full of killer coal dust. And the bill would open all of America's coastal water to oil and gas drilling.
This is Jim Hightower saying, this isn't an energy bill at all. It's highway robbery. To stop it, call Public Citizen, 202-588-1000.
I wish I'd known you. Wish I'd shown you all of the things I was on the inside.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, that's from the new CD, Dixie Chicks. All right, back to Nancy in East Tennessee. All right, Nancy, let me just rephrase the question one more time, restate the question one more time. Who is the 10th candidate who was not invited to participate in the recent debate of Democratic candidates over in South Carolina? In fundraising, he ranks number 4 in total dollars glommed up and number 1 in the number of individual contributors, according to the Federal Election Commission report that his campaign had to make on April 15th. Who is it?
That would be Lyndon LaRouche.
Bingo! Lyndon LaRouche!
Yep.
Which is really...
strange.
it is. I have been aware of Lyndon LaRouche for about 20, 25 years. I used to get his executive... That newspaper he sent out, I forget what it was. There was some interesting stuff in there, but I always looked at LaRouche as kind of an absolute fruitcake. I know he served time for what, credit card fraud?
Yeah. He's a bit of a con guy,
right.
I think.
Right. Although.
But, they're all con guys now. I mean.
When you step aside, if it's possible, that huge pile of smelly, smoldering stuff on the street that is Lyndon LaRouche's reputation and his past, he has made some points, he's shared some points of view in his newspaper or his bulletin, whatever it was, that really ring over the years anyway, like a real Democrat. So I've never been able to figure LaRouche out.
I haven't either, and I've been kind of watching him about as long as you have, you know.
Yeah.
But
that was a surprise to me. Wayne in Seattle sent this in.
Yeah. I read that somewhere, and I don't know. Now that I can't watch TV anymore, I read a whole lot, so I don't know where I read it.
Well,
but on one of these sites, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, you win the tonight's Dixie Chicks CD, and it's a good one. So let me put you back on hold. Kathy, we'll get your...
Okay, well, I've got something else to say. Can I say it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You were talking about, you get a lot of people who say, you know, they think you will not vote for, you know, a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what, like, the Terry McAuliffe and the Daschle wing of our party doesn't understand is that we, real Democrats, who've been there for, you know, 30 years, have more integrity than they do. And we're not going to sell out our vote to someone who is an imposter. You know? I mean, I want to vote for a Democrat. I want to vote for a real Democrat. I mean, I'm ready to, like, you know, draft Robert Byrd. You know, at least he'll speak up.
Well,
you know, he and Kucinich. It's going to be a great team.
If he weren't
85.
If it weren't for the fact he was old when God was a teenager.
Yeah, but, I mean, if we got Kucinich for the running mate, I mean, you know,
and I have nothing,
we're still covered.
I have nothing against old people. I hope to be one someday.
It's getting closer.
But the stamina necessary.
Oh, I know. I was just, you know, still we have Democrats in Washington who are real Democrats, most of the Congressional Black Caucus.
Yeah.
You know, these people are Democrats.
Sure.
They stand for what I stand for.
Right.
They
want
the same things for America I want for America.
Right.
But, you know, none of these people are going to have the nomination. That's going to be, you know, Kerry or Gephardt or, God forbid, Lieberman or, you know, well, God forbid, any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I will do as a real Democrat.
Well, let me say something else that hasn't been said, at least not on this program, about Lieberman. While this country is racist and sexist, it is basically still anti-Semitic, especially here in the South. And I will guarantee you, as strongly as I'm sitting here and you're sitting there, Lieberman gets a nomination. There's very few white Democrats in the South who will vote for him simply because he's Jewish. You know that. I know that.
Absolutely.
Most people know that.
Absolutely.
And it's a shame. It's a damn shame from the standpoint of race, gender, or religion that a woman, an African-American, or a Jew could not get elected in this country. But that's where we are. That's America.
Yeah, and isn't that sad? Because, I
it
mean,
is.
This is, you know, 2003, and why can't a black person or a Jewish person or a woman...
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Last year and last winter were both warmer than average. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Last year was the second warmest calendar year on record for the entire globe. Figures for 2002 show that the global temperature was above the long-term average by 1 degree Fahrenheit or 0.56 degrees Celsius. The average temperature for the United States during 2002 was above average as well, as was the average temperature in the U.S. for the winter that's just ended. Those figures were released earlier this year by the National Climatic Data Center in Asheville, North Carolina. Jay Larimore runs the center's climate monitoring branch. He says the single warmest year on record for the world was 1998. He says the near-record readings for last year fit into a pattern of global climate trends.
We have seen a trend toward warming temperatures, and you know, what we saw in 2002 is just part of that, you know, that overall trend.
Larimore says last year also was notable for severe drought in parts of the world. Monsoons in India delivered significantly less rain than usual, and drought in Australia and the western United States led to numerous destructive wildfires. For the United States, winters have been getting warmer, too. In the winter that just ended, the lower 48 states were warmer than the long-term average by 1 degree Fahrenheit. Larimore says that's well within the normal variations from year to year, but he says this past winter follows others that were much warmer than average, and that is consistent with global warming trends.
Four of the previous five winters before this one were much warmer than average. Then we had one of those years that was record warmest, 1999-2000. So many of the last several years have been very, very warm.
Larimore says some western states had record high temperatures this past winter. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Sorry about that break, Nancy. We just got run over by the commercial.
Yes, we did. No, I was just saying, you know, that it is, it's very disheartening that in America today, you know, we are at the point we're at, and I don't know what the answer is, but I really don't believe that America can withstand another 4 years of this, you know, these thugs running our country.
Well, I don't either.
And I don't know what it'll take to, what's going to, like, jolt the people back into, like, some sense of reality.
Nadine from Honolulu suggested it might be just a collapse of our monetary system.
That's real possible.
A real depression. I hope it doesn't come to that.
But, yeah, how sad is that?
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, thanks very much for my Dixie Chicks CD. I'm very excited about
that. Kathy said she had already found out you had the right answer. She's got your address, and it'll be in the mail to you Friday.
Okay.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thanks. Love your show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I'm already getting emails now from people tonight who are saying, you know, I will vote for anybody who runs under the Democratic banner in order to defeat George Bush. And I'm not going to take argument with that. If that's how you feel, that's fine. I don't disagree with the part about the Bush crime family being absolute totalitarians, absolute fascists. That's where this country's heading. If you believe that voting for a Lieberman or a Gephardt or one of these other people is somehow going to pull us back from the rush to totalitarianism, I would just ask you, did Lieberman and DeCarey vote for the USA Patriot Act, for example? Did they vote in favor of the war resolution, turning the powers vested in the legislative branch over to the executive branch? If you can answer those questions and still say, well, I'm going to vote for him anyway, doesn't a thought cross your mind that perhaps you're not voting for a real Democrat? Doesn't the thought cross your mind that perhaps you're voting for Republican light? Okay, if that's what you want to do, it's free country. Well, it used to be. It's not anymore. I've already laid out on this program, and you can get the information from 1,000 sources, not just here, that the Democratic Party is going to make sure that the candidate that comes out of these primaries is going to be one acceptable to not just the Democratic Leadership Conference, but also one acceptable to the Republican Party. So the Republican Party can then kick that candidate's ass all over the map. That's one of the reasons I lean heavily for Kucinich and to a lesser degree, a Dean, because neither of these candidates seem at this point to me that they would be kicked around by the Republican death machine to the extent that a Gephardt could, or a Lieberman could, or a Kerry could, or an Edwards could. And the simple reason why is because so far it appears that Kucinich and possibly Dean are real Democrats. And with the support of the people, this is the point, with the support of the majority of people in this country who still identify themselves as Democrats. Now, I don't know any longer if those people who identify themselves as Democrats believe that a Tom Daschle's a Democrat, for example. But let's assume that the majority of people in this country who do identify themselves as Democrats are looking for a Democratic candidate. If that is the case, and it may not be, if that is the case, then who among this field of nine more represents Democratic Party values than Dennis Kucinich or, to a lesser extent, perhaps Howard Dean? Now, if you can answer that question by saying Gephardt or Kerry or Edwards or Lieberman, then don't you think that your definition of Democrat, capital D, needs to change a bit? Don't you? And this idea, look, I have compromised my vote before. I've done it many times. I cannot tell you how many times in presidential elections. Well, not that many in presidential elections. There's been a couple. In congressional elections where I've held my nose and voted for the candidate with a D after his or her name, hoping against hope that this time that D would represent a real Democrat. And then I watch as the so-called Democrat goes to Washington and signs on with the Republican Party. I only speak for myself. You know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, well, he's got a radio program. It influences people. I don't influence anybody. If I thought for a moment that I influenced somebody, I would think to myself, Jesus, is that person easy to influence? This is a radio show. And your calls are invited. And you can say what you want to say on this program. I am not here to influence a single human being. I don't give you homework. I don't tell you how to think. I don't tell you I'm ordained by God to bring you the truth. I sit here as frustrated as you are sometimes and just do this program. That's all I do. I'm not here to influence you. That's not what I'm about. But by God in heaven, if there is one, I make it clear after wrestling with these demons myself that I will either vote Democrat, or I will vote independent, or I will get out of the whole political system completely. Now, that's what I'm choosing to do. If you choose to call yourself a Democrat and vote for somebody who's not a Democrat, well, okay. You know, I'm not here to berate you or browbeat you. It's your choice. Do whatever you want to do. But for Christ's sake, at least be honest enough, at least with yourself. If you are voting anti-Bush, okay. But you're not voting for a Democrat. You're voting anti-Bush. And if that has become the critical issue, then do it. Do it. The only person I represent on this program is moi, myself. So stop, please, with the emails about, oh, well, you know, you've got this program, you're going to influence people. Bat squeeze. This program, the audience to this program is made up of people who think independently or you wouldn't be here. Hey. Joel is calling from Nitro, West Virginia. Joe, this is your first time calling, right?
It sure is.
Welcome aboard. I always wanted to ask somebody from Nitro, West Virginia, does the name come from nitroglycerin?
Yeah, the city was founded in World War I. The federal government actually built the city and named it after nitroglycerin because this town was built from a farmland to basically produce weaponry for World War I.
So you're like the Oak Ridge, Tennessee of World War I.
Pretty much. I mean, it went from like 3 cows in 1916 to 100,000 people in 1917, and now it's back down to about 1,500 people again.
Wow. Do you still have, you know, huge waste dumps of nitroglycerin somewhere? Or?
No, we have waste dumps from all the chemical plants around the area.
Oh, God.
We have Dow, Rome, Polonk, what used to be Union Carbide, FMC, DuPont, Olin, you name it, it's in this valley.
Oh, wow. And it's a valley.
Yeah, it's called Chemical Valley. There's a 70% higher rate of cancer in this valley than elsewhere.
Oh, geez.
It's okay, though. My mom works for the hospital, and she's in charge of the cancer program, so I'm in good shape.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, with Bush's Clear Skies initiative, you're all set. It's pretty soon, everything will be okay.
Oh, I believe that.
Joel, well, welcome to the program. And, of course, that's not why you called, but that was very interesting.
Now, I have a trivia question for you, actually.
Okay.
I want to know if you know who said yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I do question the motives of a desk-bound president who assumes the garb of a warrior for the purposes of a speech.
That would be Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia.
That's right. Yeah. One of the few remaining true Democrats out there from my state.
And you know what Ari Fleischer said at his press conference, I think, today? He said regarding that, quote, Senator Byrd did not support the president at the beginning of this, and it's no surprise that he does not support the president at the end.
And I, for one, am darn proud that he's not supporting the president. Because,
yeah.
And he's been getting a lot of slack in the papers here about people saying that he's a doddering old man and he should move to France or this or that. And the conservative talk shows, which really kills me. You know, West Virginia is 80% Democrat, and all we have is conservative talk shows on the AM stations here, and they're talking about the ouster of Byrd because he's senile. And, you know, today, just for example, as part of my job, I was at the state capitol building in the rotunda, and on the second floor in the rotunda, there's one statue, and that's a statue of Bob Byrd.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I mean, people come in there, they see this. I mean, he's a great man, and to hear all the the nasty comments people have been making about him.
Well, you know, these right-wingers, especially in talk radio, who challenge Robert Byrd's intelligence, is such a joke. Robert Byrd has more knowledge packed into his little finger than 10 of these right-wing talk show hosts have in their entire body. Talk radio is a medium of gross ignorance. You know, people make comments, sometimes smarmy comments, about Robert Byrd's tendency to use very a speech that's filled with flourishes and historical references, and but the man is extremely bright. I don't think there's another person in the legislative branch or in the entire government who understands government to the extent that Byrd does. A, B, his understanding of classical history, of the Greeks, of the Romans, of the Persians, of the United States, of the British Empire, of the Portuguese Empire, of the Dutch Empire. I can't think of anyone who is more learned in that regard than Senator Byrd.
I agree entirely. There's been times when I've been flipping through the channels and I stop at C-SPAN when I see him giving speeches. And I remember the last time I watched, he was giving a speech on the purse strings of the government. And my wife, who is about as political as a rock, came down and watched with me. And after 20 minutes, she was in literal tears. And she said, you know, I've always thought maybe I was conservative, but after watching Byrd, you know, I love that old man.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's really, really, it really motivated her to look into what it means to be Democrat and what it means to be Republican. And I'm finally glad she's choosing the right side on this one.
He is one of a kind. And one thing that Byrd has that very few members of Congress, either House or Senate, have is the orator's ability. He is an orator in the same sense that the speakers from the Roman Senate were orators, from the ancient Greeks. I mean, Robert Byrd is an orator. He knows how to talk. He knows how to he can put together sentences that George Bush would be lost in after the first five words. And it's incredible to I'm going to post to my website tonight the entirety of his speech the other day where Byrd just ripped into Bush for his use of the aircraft carrier. There was one thing that he said that I thought was really hit it on the head. He said when he was a boy in West Virginia, he would notice the tobacco ads on the sides of barns. And he said Bush's that banner that was on board that aircraft carrier, mission accomplished, reminded him of that cheap, cheesy advertising from his boyhood. And, you know, here in the South, we have something called Sea Rock City. And Rock City is up in Nashville or in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I first moved to the South when I was 19 to stay. And every barn in the South, practically at one time, had painted on one side of the barn on the roof was Sea Rock City. You know, it was a tourist attraction. And when Byrd made that reference to the tobacco ads on the sides of barns and Bush using mission accomplished as an advertising slogan, it reminded me of Sea Rock City. Same thing.
Yeah. If I could say one more thing.
Sure.
One of the ladies I work with, her son is a lieutenant commander on the Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've gotten to know him pretty well over the last year or so just through email correspondence. And one of the things that he has been upset about over the last year or so is the fact that the Abe Lincoln had been out longer than any other ship in the Navy.
Ten months.
They were coming home when they were coming home from Hawaii when they had been sent to the Gulf again.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were coming home this time, and they got notification that Bush was coming on board. Apparently, there were a lot of people on that ship who asked to be let off before Bush got there. And they were talking, from what I heard from him, about having to bring in military personnel from San Diego to fill the ranks.
I'll be damned.
I'll be damned. Want to be there.
Well, the part that really just turned my stomach, and this was after the fact that we find out about it, the captain of that ship had to turn the ship so that when you looked at the banner, you wouldn't see the San Diego skyline.
The shoreline, yeah.
Yeah, in the background, and Bush shows up on a jet fighter. Oh my God. Hey, listen, I'm glad you called in, Joel. I'm glad you found the program. I hope you call again.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Take care. Jan is calling from Palm Desert, California. Jan, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is, Mike.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks. Bear with me. I'm a little nervous.
Okay. Me too. I get nervous every night.
Yeah, because I've been listening to you on the Internet for months.
Well, I'm glad you finally decided to call. Look about.
Well, I can't call from work, so it's been pretty tough.
Well, here you
but
are.
Gerald Ford is on our board of directors.
Yeah.
It wouldn't go over very well.
No, probably not. Probably not.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I've been writing all these things down while I've been waiting. Let's see. I'm just not going to read my notes right now, but I've just been so frustrated, as I'm sure most of your listeners are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the topic tonight was the party, you know, who are we going to go with, Democrats or Independents? And I'm a registered Democrat, and it's because I'm a realist right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that, and I know you've heard this many times, that, you know, it's our only chance at this point to get in. My number one affiliation, which there is none, is anti-Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's anti-Bush, and then I'm a Democrat, and I guess an Independent.
Right.
Democrat only because I latch on to certain, you know, Byrd, just certain senators that mm-hmm. that really, you know, speak for what I feel.
Can I put you on hold? We got to take a break here.
Sure.
I think maybe what you're saying is that any Democrat would be better than Bush.
Exactly.
Okay, and I want you to expand on that a little bit.
I'm not
going to argue with you at all because I certainly respect that point
of
view.
I don't mind arguing. I need you. I admire you. So.
All right. Well, let me put you on hold for a second. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back. We're at 800 Talk Yes if you want to join in. Have a couple open lines. I'm Mike Malloy.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. 5717. Call now.
place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffens Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Got the flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Right now we're talking with Jan in Palm Desert, California. Jan, thanks for holding on.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so?
Yeah, welcome back.
Okay.
All right, now tell me your plan.
Okay. I don't know if I'm calling you. My plan, I've got to continue to vote Democratic because this has got to be done in stages. I cannot believe we can go from what we've got right now to an independent party or a Green Party.
Mm-hmm.
That it's got to be done in stages.
Our objective
is to get to where we really want to be.
How about just supporting a real Democrat?
Yeah. Oh, well, but as I was on hold listening to the show, I'm hearing you naming Kerry. Kucinich, I think he's great. Dean, I haven't disagreed with a thing he says, but it's something about his demeanor that I don't feel, and I know you'll disagree with me if you want, but his demeanor, I'm just trying to get, cut to the chase, and I think I can pinpoint who is probably going to win the primaries.
Okay.
Or at least narrow it down. Okay. And unfortunately, Kucinich, which everything he says I agree with, but I don't feel that he is even going to get there. And Dean, I think, comes across as too, I don't know.
Do you think Kucinich won't get there simply because of, by his demeanor? I guess you mean the way he looks? He does.
No, I was talking about Dean's demeanor. Kucinich, I think, is just, I felt when I watched on C-SPAN these, mm-hmm. The debates, I just felt like he was being ridiculed almost. I could sense it in the audience, just certain things that they really with Braun, that mm-hmm. they don't take him quite seriously.
Why do you suppose that is? He represents everything that the Democratic Party is.
I know, but look at how far it's gotten away from what the Democratic Party is. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. It's like a Republican light, but it's, like I said, like at my point is to take it in stages, and this is in the long haul. I mean, we've got to. I just feel that Bush will be back in if we try to shortcut this and go straight to the true who should really get in.
All right, yes. Listen, I have another break. If you want to hold on, I'll hold you over the next break because I don't feel like you've said all you want to say.
I haven't.
Okay, well, let me put you on hold, and I'll come back, and we'll finish up on the other side of this break. And for the rest of the folks who are on hold, just stick around. We'll finish up with Jan and then take your call. All right? I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Radio Network News, I'm Darren Copeland. Israel says it won't act on a U.S.-backed peace plan until Prime Minister Ariel Sharon lays out his objections. A senior Israeli official says Sharon plans to voice his concerns at an upcoming meeting with President Bush. Roxana Saberi reports.
Israel says before talks and a final peace deal begin, Palestinians must drop a demand for refugees' right of return to former homes in what is now Israel. Israeli officials say if they are to recognize Palestinian statehood, Palestinians must abolish this demand. The International Peace Plan says the fates of about 4 million Palestinian war refugees and their descendants should be decided in talks on a final deal. It also envisions Palestinian statehood within 3 years. The U.S. and other international mediators have said the three-stage peace plan is not open to change, but they say its implementation can be discussed. The Palestinians have accepted the plan, while Israel has 15 objections. Israeli officials say Prime Minister Ariel Sharon will likely explain his concerns at a White House meeting expected at the end of this month or early next month. Roxana Saberi reporting.
Northern Georgia is being pounded by severe thunderstorms and at least one tornado that touched down in Cherokee County just north of Atlanta. There were no reports of injuries. Brenda Capel of Oakwood says she could see a funnel cloud.
It's almost like a creepy quietness, and you can hear thunder. The clouds are real puffy and very low-lying. You can see a huge funnel cloud.
There was property damage in Walker County in extreme northwest Georgia. Sheriff Steve Wilson reports the roofs were torn off 3 homes and 2 to 3 barns were flattened as well. North Georgia is being pounded by severe thunderstorms and at least one tornado that touched down in Cherokee County just north of Atlanta. There were no reports of injuries. There was property damage in Walker County in extreme northwest Georgia. Sheriff Steve Wilson reports the roofs were torn off 3 homes and 2 to 3 barns were flattened as well.
Cheapo.
Penny Pincher.
Coupon Charlie.
Sure, they're just names, but they hurt.
Ouch.
And there's a place that understands. A place called Hotwire.com. We won't call you things like
belt tightener.
Oh, no. Hotwire will help you embrace your frugal side with the lowest hotel prices guaranteed, or we'll give you double the difference. Does that sound like someone who'd call you a
tightwad?
Nope. The only thing we'll call you is our kind of customer. Oh, and cheapskate.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
It's almost Mother's Day, and you know what that means.
It's time to pick up the phone. A new Verizon wireless phone for mom from Radio Shack. Get her the Samsung A310 for just $24.99 after Samsung mail-in rebate. That's a $75 savings. Radio Shack's experts will even help you choose the service plan and accessories mom will love. So pick up the phone and make mom's day at Radio Shack. Offer good through 525 with 2-year activation. $175 early termination fees apply. Phone is $249.99 without activation. See stores for details.
More than 200 prominent members of the Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA have voiced their support for the consolidation of the two unions. The consolidation will create an umbrella union with three affiliates, including SAG for actors, AFTRA for broadcasters, and AFTRA for recording artists. Tom Hanks, Casey Kasem, Janine Garofalo, and Martin Sheen are just a few who support the consolidation. A complete list of endorsers can be found on the SAG-AFTRA shared website at partnershipforpower.org.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Queen Elizabeth's youngest son, Edward, and his wife, Sophie, are expecting their first child in December. Royal biographer Robert Lacey says that in the past, the Earl and Countess of Wessex tried to be different.
For both of them to be a working couple, Sophie kept her own name, Rhys Jones. They've given up their work and now taking up royal duties, having a baby. They're actually reverting very much to royal type, but I think the popularity polls will show that's what people really want.
Buckingham Palace released the statement today. A spokesperson says that the couple is delighted and thrilled. In 2001, Sophie was devastated after losing their first child and suffering from the complications of an ectopic pregnancy. Stocks finished higher today as today's Fed meeting was overlooked by investors. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 56 points to 85.88. The Nasdaq added 19 points to 15.23, and the S&P 500 gained 7 points to 9.34. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. No hitters, mid-court shots, and quarterback blitzes all make for a doozy of a game. But did you know doozy originates not in the world of sports, but in the world of automobiles? When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
When something's a real doozy, it's spectacular, larger than life. Just like the car that coined the expression. In the 1920s, the classic Model J Duesenberg, with its long ornamental hood and speed of 125 miles an hour, was considered a standard of excellence. Its name, Duesenberg, was shortened to doozy to describe anything top-notch. The stock market crash of 29 took the high-priced luxury car off the assembly line, but the expression has survived. Now, I hope you have a doozy of a day. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. If you'd like to join in, we're right in the middle of a conversation with Jan, who's calling from Palm Desert, California, and we're talking about this Democratic dilemma. Anybody but George Bush, if they have a D after their name, well, I know you're not taking it that far, but that's kind of where we left off.
I'm taking it that far.
What if it were Saddam Hussein with a D after his
name?
Oh,
my gosh, I don't know. I have to think about that. So. Right,
there you go.
I kind of got off track, talking about who I'm going to pick, in these primaries.
Right.
I do personally have some people I'm leaning towards, but that's not the issue. It is more getting back onto just the party. And I'm just afraid, and I know there's a lot of people out there that just cringe when they hear, Gore would have gotten it if they hadn't have, they hadn't gone for, what's his name?
Mader, but that's not true.
Okay, whether it's true or not, but that's basically my premise, is that if these people start jumping ship from our only chance, I believe at this next election, our only chance of getting Bush out of office is going Democratic at this time, and with hopes and working towards getting beyond the Democratic Party. It'll take a while. But
the problem I see with that, though, if you have a Democrat who has, by his, and I'm going to use the male gender here, by his record, has voted hand in glove with Bush, has voted to confirm Federalist Society judges.
Okay, just to get it out there, Kerry's looking good to me. He went with the first resolution vote, but then what he says, I'm not naive, but I'm a mom with two kids, and I try and get in as much C-SPAN as I can,
uh-huh.
and Mike Malloy,
right.
and Peter Werby. But, he right now, I'm looking at, I think he's got a good chance. I cannot stand Lieberman, and believe it or not, I'm a converted Jew,
mm-hmm.
and Lieberman I can't even stand to listen to, almost as much as I can't stand to listen to Bush. But Kerry, I feel, once he said, I wrote him off. I sent him an email saying, I'm writing you off, when I heard that, he went for that resolution, the use of force, but then he didn't back the second that they were going for.
But the second resolution never came up.
That he wouldn't have. I know it didn't come up, but that based on what he's saying.
Yeah, but that's kind of weaselly, because I think, not on your part, but on his part, because I think everybody in the United States Senate understood that a second resolution would never be presented for them to vote on. So
you really think so, though?
Yeah, I really do. It was a foregone conclusion. Bush had his resolution. There was no way in hell. Just like there was no way in hell they were going to wait for a second U.N. resolution. The Bush administration was going to do what it was going to do regardless. It didn't make any difference. UN,
you
Senate,
really believe,
House? Yes.
Am I that naive?
No, it's not a question of naivete. It's a question of politics. When Democrats or Republicans understand they have political cover, they know something's going to happen regardless, then they can stand out there and say, I wouldn't have voted for it. I wouldn't have done that. Because it's not ever going to come up. He also voted for the USA Patriot Act, which destroys utterly and absolutely.
I've been negligent.
Everybody needs, we all need to do the research. We need to find out, just because a candidate may say something, or because he may be photogenic, or because he may represent a hope or a dream that we have, I don't believe any longer is a reason to vote for them. I think what has to be done, we have to take a look at their record. When the rubber hit the road, when they were called upon to vote to confirm or not confirm a neo-Nazi judge, to confirm or not confirm the abrogation of power in the legislative branch, to hand it over to Bush, to confirm or not confirm a war resolution, to confirm or not confirm an act that destroys the U.S. Constitution and specifically the United States Bill of Rights, to confirm or not confirm NAFTA, which has sucked God knows how many jobs out of this country and practically destroyed the middle class. Howard Dean happens to be a great NAFTA supporter. Now, we have to look at their record. And I'm saying that to me, as well as to you and anybody else who's listening, Jan. I never paid attention to a voting record. I would listen to the sound bites. I'd watch the TV commercials. I would read an article.
A few months ago.
I'd read something on the New York Times, the Washington Post. That's my man. That's my boy. That's the one I'm going to vote for. Never knowing that what I was doing as a Democrat was assisting in the destruction of the Democratic Party.
But Kucinich, I know, I agree with everything you said, but then Kucinich with the abortion issue.
He has stated
that he's changing.
He stated good enough for me that his personal belief, And if we're not entitled to our personal beliefs any longer, what are we entitled to? Kucinich has made it clear that unlike the Republicans, he would not try to legislate his personal belief. The Republicans say, look, I'm against...
So did Ashcroft say that?
Well,
and I'm not.
But Ashcroft's a liar.
Well, yeah, I know.
Ashcroft is a neo-fascist. What Kucinich has said now is he would never appoint a judge who would overturn Roe v. Wade. That he would do everything in his power to retain a woman's right to choose an abortion if that's what she wants to do based on her doctor, her husband, herself, and her concept of morality. That's her decision to make. It's not the government's. So Kucinich has made it clear, I think, at least good enough for me, that the issue of abortion should not be a political issue. That's an issue of the most the deep personal privacy between a woman, hopefully the man who assisted in the pregnancy, the doctor, and whomever else happens to be involved. It has should not be in the political realm.
Which I completely agree
and
with.
And that's what Kucinich has said. Kucinich,
we're getting away from that. It's the point of I'm afraid that just people leaving the Democratic Party to because of this.
You know the answer to that.
We're just getting in.
You know the answer to that. I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me.
Oh,
you've heard that before.
God.
Now my suggestion is.
I just don't want Bush to get back
well,
in.
Well, nor do I. But I don't want Bush Light either. I want this country.
I would rather have Bush Light. I don't want Bush Light, but I'd rather have Bush Light than what. Because I cannot believe that they would go along with, to the extent that this whole neoconservative faction is accomplishing.
But if you look at the voting record of people like Lieberman and Kerry and Edwards, they have gone along with this neo-Nazi right-wing agenda. Look at their record. That's all I'm saying, Jan. Look at their voting record. That's where you find out. Is what they say what they do. If it's not, then you're left with one word, hypocrite.
Right.
So I appreciate your struggle. I hope it works out. Whatever you decide to do is what you're going to decide to do. I'm not here to convince or anybody. What I do on this program is state my position. I am not doing it again. I will vote for a Democrat. I will vote for a Democrat.
Okay, good.
But it has to be a Democrat. Hey, thanks, Jan. I hope you call again.
I will.
Okay.
And
check the voting records.
I will.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, I will.
Take care. Appreciate you checking in. That's all. I got an email here from Lance. Now, you all know Lance is a fiery Democrat. You also know that Lance is 1,000% Kucinich supporter. So, whatever. But this is interesting. He said, I just received an invitation to... Quote, join progressives from across the country for a national conference to take back America, end quote. June 4th, 5th, and 6th in Washington, D.C. It's a little invitation, and Lance says, on the cover, there's a quote from Paul Wellstone. Stand up, fight back. And then also on the cover, apparently Lance got this in the mail, also on the cover, this. If you want leaders who protect the environment, if you want enforcement of civil rights for all, if you think everyone should be paid a living wage, if you want help for America's families and children, if you want the government to be on your side, if you want America to be a force for peace and freedom in the world, join progressives from across the country. And then Lance writes, guess who's been invited to speak at this so-called progressive conference? Progressive Joe Lieberman. Progressive John Kerry. Progressive Richard Gephardt. Progressive John Edwards. These are among those who are invited to speak. Now, I don't care what you call Joe Lieberman or Richard Gephardt. They are not progressives. Now, damn it, you know it, I know it. They may be Democrats in their own minds, they may be Democrats in your mind, but they are not progressives. Look at their record. Lieberman comes from the Likud branch of the Democratic Party. Gephardt, I don't know where in the hell Gephardt comes from. John Edwards is get along, go along. What does he have? What's he been in office? 3 years? This guy wants to be president? Get real! John Kerry,
who sold out the Democratic Party, in my opinion, in the United States Senate, when he sucked up to everything Bush tossed into that august body? Now, these people call themselves Democrats. Fine. Fine. They're not progressives. They're not progressives. Now, maybe that, you know, maybe that just doesn't matter anymore. Okay, all right. Our Aurora, Illinois Bureau Chief emails in, Marianne, if anyone stood up in true and principled opposition to the thugs in power, they'd have the votes. Whatever you may have thought, Marianne writes, of Clinton's politics, the unified press and broadcast media assault on his presidency didn't defeat him. And 95% of the black voters supported him. A southern, somewhat conservative white boy. Because he had balls and stood his ground against the fascist thugs, he understood that he had to get serious about a real fight. And amazingly, he did it with goodwill to all and malice toward none. But Lieberman, Marianne writes, my God, it's not that he's Jewish. It's that he's a virtual Likud party operative, shilling for their murderous policies in Israel and putting our real national security interests second to what Sharon and the neocons want to wreak upon the Middle East and the rest of the planet. I will become a Republican if the Democrats choose Lieberman. Colin Powell could be elected president, Marianne writes, if he hadn't revealed himself to be a liar and the Republican Party whipping boy for the neocons. Hillary could, if she wanted to, and hadn't been bought out with AIPAC money. Carol Moseley Braun could, if she acquired about 100 more political IQ points. Even Kucinich could be president, if he got serious about waging war against a vile, nasty, take-no-prisoners opposition and got smarter strategically. The American population is collectively like a troubled teenager, resentful that those adults on the political scene who should be enforcing discipline and fairness have abandoned them. And like a self-destructive teenager, are acting out by embracing an insane right-wing political agenda that runs against their own well-being and future.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. Like cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
There are over 70 million Americans who suffer from arthritis. But for arthritis pain relief, there's only one Aleve, the medicine more and more doctors are recommending for all-day relief of pain. Doctors know Aleve can stop tough pain all day with fewer pills than Tylenol. And Aleve works right at the site of arthritis to provide fast, effective relief. Get relief doctors recommend. Aleve, arthritis pain relief that's all day strong, all day long. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain. Comparisons based on minimum 24-hour label dosing.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Marianne, our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief, had one last line there. Let me back up one sentence. The American population is collectively like a troubled teenager, resentful that those adults on the political scene who should be enforcing discipline and fairness have abandoned them. And like a self-destructive teenager, are acting out by embracing an insane right-wing political agenda that runs against their own well-being and future. Abused children tend to favor their abuser and reserve their anger for the other adults who stood by and did nothing. When will the Democrats realize that their only chance is complete and committed opposition? Very true. And I've got to share this one with you from CW. CW is down in Waveland, Mississippi, isn't he? Is that CW? Yeah. Hey, Mike Malloy. What you're talking about with Daschle is something that, as you say, Bart Kopp knew all along. I will say that I knew it all along, and I think you probably knew it all along. He and the others like him, Gephardt, Lieberman, and I think even Dean and Kerry, if he's pushed hard enough further down the campaign trail, are stuck in a time warp of sorts here. I think that the Greens, that what the Greens tried to do in 2000, maybe we should do now for all the right reasons. The Greens lashed out against Gore because they thought he was Bush light. I think they were wrong. I no longer believe that they lost the election for Gore, and I apologize to all my Green friends out there for hassling them to that effect. Gore lost the election, as we all know now, because he was just too stupid to run a campaign that called George Bush exactly what he was, and because he denied the big dog's coattails. But under Gore, things would have been different, and the World Trade Center would still be standing. Anyway, I'm to the point where I think it's time for Kucinich to go independent. We can vote for him and make a statement, not because there is no difference between the Kerrys, the Deans, the Liebermans, and George Bush, but because they do not have the guts, plainly and simply, to go against the evil that is the Republican Party and call it what it is. I will state now that I do not believe that any Democrat, save for Kucinich, will defeat Bush because they simply do not have what it takes. Therefore, I will not vote Democrat unless some sort of lightning strikes. I will write in Kucinich's name if I can, and when Bush serves a second term, his first elected, I will sleep soundly at night, albeit on a hard board in a concentration camp somewhere, knowing that I was not an accomplice to the sham. Because I feel at this point that a vote for a Democrat, other than Kucinich, will not be a vote against George W. Bush. May each and every one of those ankle-grabbing bastards that call themselves leaders in the Democratic Party continue to suffer in this life and whatever life they continue into from the rope-a-dope treatment that the conservatives are so blatantly practicing on them. I have always been a Democrat, but I've reached a point, C.W. writes, in my life where I am now a member of whichever party Dennis Kucinich chooses to enter or create in an effort to win the White House. I hope that he breaks off if necessary. I would hate to see him lose out in the House of Representatives by leaving the Democratic Party, but watching him fall from grace for the sake of attempting to show that George Bush has no place in the highest office in the land would reaffirm my belief that there are a few good people left. You would think by the results of the last election in 2000, where Gore got 500,000 more votes than Bush, that this nation was full of people who knew better. But, Mike, sometimes I now lie awake at night wondering just where the 2000 majority went. CW. Robin is calling from Victor, West Virginia. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Mike. It's West Virginia Night on the show.
It is indeed. Nitro and now Victor. You guys really know how to pick names up there.
Neat thing about Nitro, and I know you're a reader and you like literature and stuff like that. There's a great, more or less lost author named Brees DJ Pancake.
Lost, that's for sure. Never heard of him.
Oh, he's brilliant. He was hailed across the country.
And he's from Victor, West Virginia?
No, he's from the Taos Valley area, which is more or less Nitro.
Hey, I got to put you on hold.
Okay.
I'll come right back. We have to do a quick break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
The headquarters of the United Nations looked a lot like Baghdad on Friday as food service workers went on a wildcat strike and UN diplomats and staff literally looted the headquarters' cafeterias and lounges. The workers found out Friday that a new company was coming in to manage UN food services and they would not be paid some back wages owed. So the workers walked off the job around lunch hour, and as word spread around the headquarters, thousands of diplomats and staff headed to the cafeterias and literally stripped them clean, making off with everything from souffles to bottles of liquor and even the silverware. The workers are now back on the job this week, but the company running food services estimates as much as $9,000 worth of food, drink, and supplies were plundered.
No signs that Yale University's long-running labor strife is about to end. The union representing 2,800 of Yale's secretaries and technical workers shot down a proposed 10-year contract by an 8-to-1 margin last week. Local 34 of the Hotel and Restaurant Employees Union has gone without a contract since January of 2002 and says Yale's latest proposal falls far short on pension and wage increases. Meanwhile, a non-binding referendum on graduate student unionization ended in defeat for graduate teaching assistants. A slim majority voted against unionization, and while the Graduate Employees Student Organization is contesting the result, the outcome is unlikely to sway an administration that has fought TA unionizing efforts tooth and nail.
More than a million Austrians are on strike today, the largest labor action that country's seen in at least 50 years. The strikers are actually on the job, but they're spending the day talking with co-workers about government plans to slash the national pension and raise the retirement age to 65. Currently in Austria, men retire on average around the age of 59 and women at 57.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. 800-TALK, yes, is number. We're talking with Robin in Victor, West Virginia. Now, you have a primer for Democratic candidates?
Yeah, I do. And I'm sure I'd like to guess you've probably run across it somewhere back in the past, but are you familiar with All the King's Men by Robert Penn Warren?
Yes. I have to say I've never read the book, but I've read excerpts from it, and I'm familiar with the book, but I've never read it cover to cover, no.
Yeah, it's the single greatest thing that's been written in English back in the 20th century.
That's what I've heard.
There is a segment in there where Willie, the boss, before he becomes big, bad, corrupt Willie, the governor,
right,
has been drafted to run in the Democratic primary. And he is too stupid to see that he has been drafted to split the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then he is enlightened by his journalist buddy. I don't know where you'd find a journalist buddy like that anymore.
Well, you don't.
And comes to a barbecue rally the next day with the full knowledge of what's been done to him.
Mm-hmm.
And in a hungover stupor, stands up in front of the crowd, and the description in the book is just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
With this forelock flying in front of his face, his hair hanging down, and in many ways the description itself sounds like Kucinich.
Huh.
When he gets angry.
Right.
And he says, "Give me that meat axe." And he says, "You go ahead and you vote for this other character over here. You vote for it. You give him 4 years. You do that. But when he's done, and you see what fools have been made of you, you hicks." And he says, "You hicks, you morons. Then you remember and you give me that meat axe. And I'll lay into him." And it's brilliant. It's fight back politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your face politics. I remember a long time ago, back when dinosaurs ruled the earth and Ronald Reagan ruled the dinosaurs.
Right.
He had some mealy mouthed spokesperson in the State Department who would daily get on stage and say, "We deplore in the strongest possible terms the latest actions of," you know, fill in the blank.
Right.
And I used to sit there listening to her going, "Dadgummit, quit deploring in the strongest possible terms and use them."
Yeah, sure.
You know, call the SOB an SOB.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's got to happen here. And I understand the callers that have been talking to you tonight. I understand about voting against Bush as opposed to for a candidate. And to you and your malaise, Mike, I would merely say that you got to remember, Carter was a nobody that nobody would follow except Hunter S. Thompson.
Right.
You know, there's you know, 10 cents worth of hope out there.
Well, I don't mean to come across as somebody who's gone totally negative here. I think it was last week when I brought up that piece that it's all over except the Sieg Heiling for George Bush. And the logical part of me who observes what has happened to our political system, the collapse of the Democrats, the rise of the neo-fascist right, the control of all three branches of government now, the militarization, the attempt to turn this into, if not totalitarian, certainly authoritarian government, all of this stuff going on, and the logical part of my mind, and I can't turn it off, says, you know, it's over. Now,
no, you're not wrong, Mike.
Now the emotional part of me, the creative part of me says, hell no, it's not over. It's not over till somebody puts a bullet in my head and 50 million other people, figuratively speaking, 50 million other people in this country, or until the day we're all taking Soma, or until the day we just don't care anymore. It's not over. But by God,
are there 15 members of the United States Senate that would vote for the Great Society now?
Now?
Now. Are there 15 members?
Probably not. The
Democrats. No, there aren't. You know, it's like Lot wandering through Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
He can't find one, you know, one decent man. But there's a great term going back to the whole Robert Penn Warren, all the King's men thing. There's a great term that is used by Willie in that speech, and it fits so well for people like Kerry and people like Lieberman. And Edwards, and it just encompasses so much. Lickspittle.
Boy, I haven't heard that for a long time.
No, and it's so viable. They're lickspittles.
Yeah.
And one last thing before I go, and I thank you for your patience.
Sure.
There was you were talking about what has to happen in America before we get a Democrat. And I'm sure you're familiar with the 12-step program.
Sure.
You know, before you can, in AA, before you can get to that step where you say, you know, I realize that, you know, step number one, a whole world of misery has to fall upon you personally.
Well, that's true. I was involved with somebody one time who was an addict, and I joined Al-Anon. Well, you don't join. I started going to Al-Anon meetings just to figure out how to cope, and it became very clear to me that detachment, that was what we were told. You either have to detach from the addiction that your partner has or detach from your partner. Well, I chose to detach from the partner, and it was very painful, but I understand what you're saying.
That may be what you're talking about here, too.
Sure, I think it is.
But I can't come to a point, and I understand everything you're saying about just walking away from it.
Well,
I can't come to the point where not going to the polls and voting against George Bush is somehow a lesser thing than being above the fray and just not participating.
I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. Robin, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you so much, Mike.
All right, sir.
Have a great night, sir.
Thank you. I just want to share this with you, then back to whatever the hell it is we're discussing. You remember Afghanistan, don't you? Today in Kabul, which is the only city that's controlled by the United States government's puppet, Hamid Karzai. Today in Kabul, thousands of Afghans protested against the American occupation and the U.S.-installed government of Hamid Karzai, threatening to fight unless U.S. forces quit the country. Some 3,000 demonstrators chanted anti-U.S. slogans and condemned the presence of the foreign forces on their lands after ousting the former Taliban regime. So-and-so, one of the protesters, said Afghanistan would be the grave of occupation troops as it used to be. It's time for Afghans to fight against the American invasion as they did with the British and the Soviet invaders. We don't want to be ruled by Americans or British. We want the rule of Islam. We want peace. And they failed to provide us with it. We want them out of our country. A third protester shouted, death to Bush, death to America. Now, the demonstration was organized by the Scientific Center. Yeah, I'm sure it's very scientific. Headed by Sadegh Khan, a prominent philosopher known for his staunch opposition to the communist government in the 80s and his opposition to the ousted Taliban.
Khan pledged unabated peaceful demonstrations until the demands of the Afghan people are met. He slammed the U.S.-sponsored reconstruction process, charging that the only difference Afghans noticed since the toppling of the Taliban was the availability of the Internet and the fact that some Afghan women had taken off their traditional burqas. Now, who was it that told us the other day that Afghanistan had been liberated and democracy was flourishing? I just thought I would drop that into the conversation. Afghanistan. You remember Afghanistan. You remember Osama bin Laden. You remember Mullah Muhammad Omar. You remember all that, don't you? Sure. So do I. Don is calling from Milwaukee. Don, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, Mike.
Welcome aboard.
I think you're a bright star in a very dark situation in this country.
All right.
Depression.
How about a light, a candle in the darkness?
Oh, you. I mean, back in Milwaukee, we're bombarded by all of this BS talk show out of WTMJ and so-called Charlie Sykes. Brainwashing. Mm-hmm. They attack good people. They attack good working people. They're mean, malicious. They attack the people who teach their children. The Republican agenda. This is like a locust spreading across the country, eating all the resources as fast as that group of Republican locusts can move. And unfortunately, it's being aided by our Democratic allies that don't have the guts to stand up. I mean, I have been an educator for 25 years. I have taken money away from my family to support the kids, the children that I teach, because they've been denied funds to educate, funds to participate in sports. Mm-hmm. And these people continue to attack, continue to harass. Now they want to take away our health insurance because, again, we're told that we don't need those resources. Somebody up the line needs those resources.
Yeah.
And I'm a good labor Democrat, and we're telling Democrats back in here in this state that they better start acting like Democrats or, you know, there's going to be a price to pay. We stopped George Bush in this county down here. Milwaukee County was the last one reported in. We worked like hell, and we defeated him. And then we defeated his clone in his last election, Milwaukee County reported as the one of the last counties in defeat, that we got rid of a ridiculous Republican governor who was in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And we elected the Democrat. So I agree with you, Mike. I don't like what's going on with the Democrats. They shouldn't be kissing butt. They should be kicking butt.
That's the thing I honestly don't understand. And like one of our callers said tonight, she was not politically naive. I don't consider myself to be politically naive either. But I don't understand this. Why is the Democratic leadership not standing up? I don't care who it is, Gephardt, Daschle, I don't care, Lieberman, somebody, standing up on their hind legs, howling bloody murder about what is happening in this country. I am, you know, like you, like a lot of people, I am sick to my stomach to see these get-along, go-along Democrats. This country is going into the tank. We are becoming a totalitarian a form of government. I don't mean we are becoming. It is being imposed on us. Our foreign policy is one of murderous imperialism. Here at home, everything, I don't care how optimistic somebody wants to be, everything is going in the tank. Jesus, we have 3 million people unemployed. The Bush crime family, more than when the Bush crime family took over. Health insurance, forget about it. Good jobs, forget about it. The solvency of the states, forget about it. Education going to hell. Environmental issues going to hell. When is a Democrat going to stand up and say enough of this and fight? Now, there is one Democrat who's doing it, and he can't get his face on television. And you know who I'm talking about.
Well, that's because it's all corporately owned.
Well,
and you're going to get BS out of the corporate owned news stations. And I'm going to tell you, when I was an undergrad at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, I knew the young Republicans down there. And they had, and, you know, when you first said fascist, you weren't too far off because a lot of those folks were admirers of Nazi Germany and would openly display the swastika. And I looked, and this was my generation that's now running the country.
Uh-huh.
And, Mike, you're not too far off. There are people in the Republican Party with that sort of mentality.
Oh, I'm real aware of that. Hey, listen, Don, I'm glad you called. Thanks for finding the program and tuning in. I hope you call again, pal.
Well, you're a light of hope, and I think that...
candle in the darkness.
Yeah, and hopefully that democracy can return to the United States and the Democrats start paying attention to the people that got them there, and that's the working class, the middle class, and also the people who are underprivileged, and that their voices are heard,
yeah.
and not a voice of only 1% of this population.
I hear you loud and clear. Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, sir. Take care. Hi. Dave is calling from Washington State. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. I'm powerless over false Democrats, and my life's unmanageable because of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm with you 100% on the idea of Kucinich going it as an independent, and primarily because I believe that we need candidate out there who can speak from a principled place and really talk about democratic principles, humanistic principles of the idea of individual liberties and freedoms. And I believe, my personal belief is, you know, you raised the question, why is no one speaking up? And, I mean, personally, I think out here in Washington, even though it's, you know, Washington is, state is supposedly a liberal place, but we've got Senators Murray and Cantwell, and mm-hmm. I'd like to sit down and talk with them because I think they understand the politics of business and money raising for campaigns, et cetera. And I'm willing to bet you that they cannot really talk about the democratic principles behind our great nation. And mm-hmm. we're being ruled by an elite, and they have... you know, peddled to certain identity issues that have been important over the past 20 years. They played lip service to feminism and racial equality, but really did very little to bring about any structural changes. And I truly believe that there's simply Republican light, and until we deny them our vote and really tune in to people who can talk a principled democracy, we can just expect that, you know, it's going to keep creeping to the right.
I don't understand why the people don't, if the Democratic Party can't provide a leader that gets the kind of press, the kind of voice necessary to reach the people, why does it seem like so many people in this country are willing to just roll over and let this continue to happen? That's the question that I can't get an answer to, and that's the question that bothers me the most. You know, why we, the American people, are allowing this to continue.
Well, we're lazy. It would be my...
well, we're going to lazy ourselves right out of the country. You know that?
Well, we are, and we're coming precariously close. And I think that there's a laziness, and unfortunately, I think about 70% of the population... I hate to say it. I used to hate elitism. And
hey,
let me
put you on hold. I'll come back in a second, but here comes the break.
Strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25!
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm gonna tell you
right now, all from state to state. It's all about the mix. You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Love and Dr. Drake style. Through the street, just doing my thing. I need the tricks to keep me in the mix and the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix, come on, y'all.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the goodwill and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We're talking to Dave in Silverdale, Washington. Thanks for holding on, Dave.
Well, thanks for holding me over, Mike.
Sure.
You know, we were talking about what's going on here, in a sense, and I think laziness. We've become politically lazy, and we have bought into the idea that politics is kind of for the elite. And I think there's another problem in the sense that just plain stupidity. And I think when a person like Killer Joe Scarborough can you know, get on TV and do his thing, or a blowhard like Bush Bing Bang can get on the radio and do what he does. I think that there's just, you know, there's an epidemic of, I don't know what else to call it, but stupidity. And I'm reluctant to do that because I thought I used to have this kind of noble notion that as a democratic-minded person, you know, small d, I had to love America, I had to love Americans, and I was one of those people, I wanted to always bridge the gap. I wanted to find the similarities between the libertarians and the progressives and so forth, and it's really, it's been enlightening the last couple of years to kind of come to the conclusion that I was dead wrong in that. I needed to stick to my own principles, and if I really value something, You know, if you value something, you'll publicly proclaim it. You'll proclaim it despite the consequences.
Sure.
And that's what you talk about, you know, facetiously, I hope, about someday, you know, you're going to end up in the gulag or something. But I'm there with you.
Yeah.
Okay? I'll be your celly.
Okay.
Because my children won't have it unless I'm willing to fight for it and put my butt on the line for it and publicly proclaim it unapologetically.
Yeah, and it has to come to that at some point, or like we've said, most of the people who participate in this program, if we don't stop this, we're going to lose it. I mean, it's very simple. Even the framers, way back when they were putting this country together, they called it the Great Experiment, and they were curious. I forget which one. It might have been Madison who said he'd like to come back in 200 years and just see what had happened with the Great Experiment. I think if the framers came back now, they would be just stupefied.
They would be the first ones to start the revolution over.
All over again, yeah. Hey, thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Yeah, it's one of those nights where, boy, it just feels like a workout in here. Tonight's program was engineered in Detroit by Steve Damschroeder, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Vittman announces for us. Remember, starting this Friday, Bush Free Fridays to ease into the weekend. Eh? I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. Have a nice evening. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius.